welcome to show number 6 of The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam, and I'm learning to fly in the southwest of the UK at a small and friendly club right on the edge of Dartmoor. You're invited to follow me week by week on my journey from sort of hoping my instructor will revert to doing all the takeoff for me to confident I have control solo glider pilot. As you know, it's 2013, so I'd like to wish you all a happy new year, and let's hope that this summer we're going to get some sunshine. A bit of nice weather wouldn't go amiss. It's been an incredible year for the weather, and it really is time that we had a bit of a blissful summer down in this part of the UK. Now, you might notice a difference in the sound of the podcast this week, and I have to tell you that I'm coming to you from a corner of the office in London, and there's no soundproofing, no little cardboard box for me to stick my head into. I've got the show notes up on the wall, and it's 11 o'clock at night. The office cleaner has just left, so I finally got some quiet in the office to do the podcast recording. Well, in the news this week, first up, have you heard about sudden stratospheric warming? You haven't? Well, where have you been? According to some people in the know, there's an atmospheric event occurring over the North Pole that could disrupt the normal weather patterns, bringing us potentially bitterly cold winds from the east. Now, for most people, this sounds like hell, but to the good folks at Dartmoor Gliding Society down on the western edge of Dartmoor, this actually sounds like heaven, because it's an easterly wind that brings the promise of the long-awaited wave lift, the ability to ride the standing waves of air that are occasionally set up as the air flows over Dartmoor and over its western edge. Now, if you're interested in this, you can keep an eye open on the Met Office website to find out more about these sudden stratospheric warming events, or you can go to Google, as I've done this week, to find out a bit more. But we'll try and make a bit of sense of this later on in the show. Also in the news, The Glider Show is doing pretty well after just 5 shows. As we've started a new year, I decided to try to promote the podcast in some way or other. Got some surprising and almost immediate results, and I have to say I'm not really sure what happened. Last week, got a sudden spike in traffic to the website and an increase in the numbers of people listening to the show. We had just over 800 listeners to show number 5 in about 12 days, and that's quite an amazing boost. It's a mystery to me. It's a nice mystery, but I have no idea where that increase in traffic came from. Another piece of news this week. Teenager goes solo. Now, this story was carried by a lot of the major news channels. I've picked this one from the Bista Advertiser and Review online. It says, a teenage member of Bista Gliding Club has become the youngest pilot in the country to fly a glider solo. Callum Lavender, 14, from Chinnor, benefited from a change in the law in October, which let young people fly solo aged 14. He began lessons as soon as he reached the right age and achieved his goal last week. His father, Mark Lavender, said, as far as anyone can tell, he is the youngest person in this country to have done so. Every solo flight has to be registered with the British Gliding Association, and they have congratulated him. Callum first went up in a glider when he was 7. I put a link to that in the show notes. Now, Dartmoor Gliding Society's own Bob Pirrey was interviewed on BBC Radio Cornwall's Shep and Joe show about Callum's achievements and also about how young people can get into gliding. I'd love to be able to include that audio here, but unfortunately, if I did, I'd be in breach of copyright. And to be honest, I don't need to go looking for a fight with an organisation the size of BBC. So no audio link. Bob did a great job of explaining how easy it is for young people to take up gliding, and also promoting our club at Dartmoor Gliding Society and North Hill near Honiton. Right at the end of his interview, he referred to the joy of learning, the magic of being in the air, and being in control of it and using that free air to stay aloft. And you can stay aloft for a long, long time. So on to show number 6, and in this week's show, I'll be taking part in an expedition to another airfield, doing a bit, well, a very little bit of ridge flying, and getting the feel of another aircraft. Well, good morning. I'm just pulling out of the close on a Sunday morning in January, and I'm heading off in the direction of Okehampton. And this morning it's dark, so I'm thinking to myself, this is dedication. And we're heading off today to the Mendips Gliding Club. I think we have an arrangement to go and visit them today. So we're going on an expedition. Oh shit. Oh, that's a big hole. Great big hole being washed away. Sorry about that. I probably heard a little bit of ABS kicking in there.
Good morning.
Good morning. He is awake. He is alive.
We gave you the back seat, Martin.
Yes, thank you very much.
Our base is not looking too bad, is it?
It's okay here. Yeah. But up at Thingy, wherever it's Hailsland, it's supposed to be foggy and misty until
It works. Trust the iPhone. It knows where we are. So keep going, and we're looking for New Road on the right in about 200 yards. Right turn up here. New Road.
Morning.
Morning.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hi.
Thanks, Hi. There's a flying list on the front table for you to
okay.
get to.
Okay. Thank you.
Dump your stuff, and then you... Give us a hand.
Okay, we'll do. Just put it in the clubhouse, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, here we are in the Mendip Hills. And we're at the Mendip Gliding Club, not far from Cheddar. And I'm standing out on what looks to be potentially a bright morning. We're just waiting for mist and fog to clear off. There's still a bit of mist coming up from the ridge just to the south of the airfield. It's really interesting to be here and see a different club and how it operates. Not only the different layout, different equipment, but also the way people do things. So in anticipation of this mist burning off, we've managed to get out four of the gliders so far, and walking about on the field, I've just found some money. So you heard it here live. I'll take a picture of this. This is the benefits of podcasting for you. Of all the places in this entire field, I had to walk across it, so I'm 60 pence richer as a result of this little stroll than it was before. Roger's just jumped at the chance of driving the bus, which is serving as the mobile launch point up to position. So it looks like we're going to get some flying done today. I don't think it's going to be any lift around, but that's okay.
It looks like it's surrounded just by water. The Glastonbury Tor's just over there.
Yeah.
Go up a little bit, you'll probably see it.
So we just want to wipe down those windows for me. There's a couple of wipers just in that bucket.
Okay. Another one. All right.
There was a reason I grabbed the bottom windows quickly.
I think we're all doing the same thing. No, you didn't miss the top one.
I'd say it was a brave pair of pilots who go up in this.
Oh, never to be seen again. Make sure you get a picture.
I don't think they've
got to
be brave to go up. It's they've got to be brave to come
brave
back.
To come down, yeah. Walking back to the clubhouse because the mist has come in up the side of the hill and paid to any flying for the time being. We've had just one flight go out with the two Dartmoor instructors. But I'm heading back to the clubhouse to chop some wood and get a fire going because it's pretty grey and cold out here. So Leith is doing the communicating with the the winch, well, sorry, with the launch radio, and I'm standing here holding the end of the glider's wing. And we've got Roger in the front and Chief Flying Instructor Don in the back.
Okay. Take up slack, K13, North Cable. Cable is live. All out! All out!
Had to run a little bit with that one. It's different from doing it at Brent Tor, is that the time it takes to take up the slack is a lot shorter.
Whoops, and into cloud.
Into cloud, very early, released early.
500 feet.
Not great fun, that's peel off to the left, come back down and land, basically. I just missed that for my podcast, but if you could tell me, what was that thing you said happening over the North Pole?
This is where I'm going to get all the facts horribly wrong, and everybody down at Brent Tor is going to know about it. Sudden stratospheric warming. It's worth a Google. The Met forecasters were beginning to talk about it a couple of days ago. Apparently, when the stratosphere warms over the polar regions, it creates high pressure, which normally exists at that latitude anyway. People will be familiar with Hadley's Cell, which is the regions of high and low pressure around the globe. What will happen is the prevailing southwesterly wind will become easterly due to the high pressure existing to the north of these latitudes. And that's going to be, at this time of year, a stable air mass, so should be rather good. Brent Tor is the place to go.
Apparently so. And how long does that last for, that kind of event, last for once it starts putting out easterly wind?
Now, I don't know the factors that drive this, so that I don't know.
Sometimes it's not a short-term one. 2 to 3 days.
Yeah. Okay. I think it should be longer term than that, actually.
Right.
I believe this is the sort of event that can set in a couple of weeks of real bitter easterly continental conditions coming over. I'm trying to remember there's a country name for that easterly bitter wind.
I think you just said it.
Yeah, that's probably
bloody
one,
easterly
yes.
bitter wind.
Yes. Therefore,
would that bring snow typically, or?
Quite often it's dry.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's continental air mass.
Okay.
And the air is also too cold to actually hold any degree of moisture. Mm. What tends to happen is it picks up moisture as it comes over the North Sea,
right.
And they get clobbered in the east.
Yeah.
So all down East Anglia and all down the East Coast, they get the snow showers, and the air mass dries again by the time it gets to us.
So we get that fabulous wave thing that everyone's been talking about.
Yeah. The air passes over Dartmoor, down into the Teviot Valley, and then bounces up at the eastern end of the airfield, and we're in the primary wave on release from the launch.
And that's heading for next weekend, is that?
Yes. Looking?
Damn, I'm booked in for the weekend afterwards.
Oh, change your booking.
Yeah. Yes. Quickly.
Now, to be honest, I hadn't really expected to fly this weekend at all, but I jumped at the chance of going on this expedition. And by the time it came around to my turn, I got really lucky with the cloud base lifting finally to about 1,000 feet. And while I was sitting there waiting to launch, it was exciting enough being at a different airfield, knowing that I was going to fly above a completely different landscape. What was really exciting was the knowledge that since having taken the controls of everything a couple of weeks ago, from this point onwards, I'm never again not in charge.
Okay, so you have control? So stick neutral, looking ahead, be prepared. Yeah, be prepared for the left wing lifting up, so if anything, put just a little bit, and be prepared to steer it if needs be. So looking ahead. We're airborne, up into the climb, a little bit steeper. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Steep. it's hot, so lower the nose. And here we are.
Okay.
It's a completely different picture now from up here. And,
it is.
Down there.
Okay.
So Axbridge Reservoir you can see on your right.
Yep.
So let's, why don't we go to the left and we'll fly along. We'll keep those bits of cloud there on your left hand side. Keep them on your left.
Okay.
You can make out Glastonbury Tor now, it's about 1 or 2 o'clock. And the airfield's obviously on out there.
Yeah.
You see, where this cloud is forming, it's orographic.
Yeah.
And if we just go slightly to the windward side, but to the right a little, we might find that the Vero starts to show some signs of lift. You see the flooding on the Sedgemoor level is quite significant in the middle now.
Getting anything, are we?
Sorry?
We're not getting any.
Yeah, but the electric there would be the one to look at, but I think you may have blocked it out with your microphone. If you turn to the right here, and we go back along the... Can you see these two bowls underneath here? In the hill?
Yeah.
They're acting sort of air scoops. And the wind is blowing directly up those, and that's what, and that upgoing air is then forming into orographic. Yeah. Just a little bit more to the right of the floor, and we'll see if we can. That's not going up. As we get lower, so we might expect to see the lift improve.
Mm.
So let's make a turn to the left again, go back along that same route. The winds are actually quite light. We may not get a lot. In a little closer to the hill perhaps, yeah. Just a smaller. That's it, and there's good, and now fly along it. Slow it down this way, we're going a bit far. 45 knots is good enough. Good. And then round to the right again. Slow it down. Don't too fast. It won't soar particularly well at above 50 knots. Good. So in a moment we'll be looking to join the probably base leg. I'll direct you around it. We've got these odd little bits of cloud, they're not going to represent any serious problem for us. So let's go round to the left. All the way round and join the base leg. Keep turning all the way base leg and keep turning, keep turning, keep turning. The airfield's appearing on you. Keep turning.
Yeah, okay.
Base leg, 90 degrees for the wind. That's it, now straighten up. Find the air brake lever. We're cramping a little bit now, so but not sort of worry. If you open the brakes now, that will compensate. Lower the nose a little. That's it. Start the turn and line up. Fly straight now.
Okay.
Now turn. You're as tense as a board.
Yep.
Okay. Hold it off the ground. And relax your legs.
Okay.
You're just jamming them up.
Sorry.
I've got it.
Yeah.
Too late.
Sorry. Sorry.
You're just pushing the rudder pedals together. And of course they won't move.
Well, I'm heading back to the clubhouse. I've had two flights, but the visibility has come right down again. And I think it's gonna stay this way for the rest of the afternoon, so I'm just going to go and get a sandwich, but I think that's it for the day. It's been interesting to come somewhere else and
good opportunity to fly somewhere else. Anyway, the optimists are still up at the launch point, and the realists are coming down to grab a sandwich. So all in all, it was a very interesting day to go to a different field and to see the different ways of doing things at another club. And we were made very welcome by the folks at Mendip's Gliding Club. A nice fleet of aircraft, different kinds of facilities. They have a great double-decker bus for their launch point and a telephone line that snakes a kilometre up the field to the winch point. It also struck me very forcibly, in the literal sense, how powerful their winch was compared to ours, and the length of time from the call of cable live to the winch pulling on full power was incredibly short. That was quite a rush. No time to think, no time to get nervous about it. What was great too for me was to actually do a bit of ridge flying for real. And I managed to stay up on my first flight for 7 whole minutes. And that meant that I went up and down the ridge possibly 3 times in total. But it was really nice to turn, go back up the ridge, turn, go back down, and to do it without losing too much height. I think it was also interesting to experience a different K-13 from the one that I've flown in at Dartmoor. And this one was different in a number of little details. It had a front nose wheel, where ours has a skid. It also had a wooden fascia into which the dials, the instruments are set. And it felt a little bit tighter and with less play in all the controls. And I felt them to be much more responsive and direct. But I felt quite a bit more confident in this particular K-13. And on top of that, one of the real bonuses for me was that, unlike our club K-13, this one didn't have a loop of steel sticking out to dig me in the joint of my knee to protect the little steel tubes running down the framework. Unlike our K-13, on this one at Mendip's Gliding Club, the tubes were to the outside of the framework. So much more comfortable for me in that respect. Now, this week we're making sense of sudden stratospheric warming. And this is the phenomenon that Mendip's CFI Tony alerted us to while we were standing chatting away, waiting for the mist to clear. What is it? Well, according to the MetMonkey website, the link will be in the show notes, in normal winters, a colder polar stratosphere increases the temperature gradient between the Arctic and the tropics during the winter months. And this helps to create something known as polar vortex, which results normally in westerly winds that, as we all know, bring us relatively warm, wet air. That's rain and blustery, wintry winds rather than freezing conditions and snow. A warmer stratosphere does the opposite, reducing the strength of the polar vortex and causes something called northern blocking. This often ends up reversing the normal westerly winds, which become in turn easterly, dragging in Arctic air, freezing air from Eastern Europe. It's very complex, and I've only just scraped the surface, but it's clear if you look online, there are a lot of people who believe that this warming event is happening right now, and that the results are going to be felt this weekend. Now, one forum that thinks something big is brewing is an Irish weather forum, and by the sound of it, they're all desperate for snow. It's at www.islandsweather.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. By contrast, Channel 4 weatherman Liam Dutton, on his page, doesn't think so. He thinks there's only about a 30% likelihood of this very cold eastern air bringing snow with it. A link to that in the show notes as well. Now, you might ask, why does any of this matter? And as I said at the start of the show, cold easterly winds blowing over the lump that we call Dartmoor can, in certain conditions, result in significant wave lift at the western edge of Dartmoor. And that happens to be right where our club, Dartmoor Gliding Society, is. When there's wave, newcomers and old timers alike have a chance of flying for hours at a time and reaching heights of sometimes 10,000 feet. Some are thinking that if this weather event happens, it will possibly be this weekend. I'm booked for another one of these great one-day courses for the following weekend, and it left me with a choice. Do I switch my dates around from the 20th to this coming Sunday, or do I hold out against popular opinion for the following weekend? Now, granted that I know next to nothing about this subject,
it's still fun to try and predict it. So my crude instincts tell me that it's Sunday the 20th of January. I'm going to be aloft so long, I'll be needing that glider plumbing that I was tittering about in a previous episode. Now, in this week's comms, who's been in touch this last couple of weeks? Well, first of all, I'd like to say hello to an old friend of mine, Adam Stone. And Adam runs Rock Media, based in Exeter, a great website design company and digital marketing agency. And Adam tweeted this out to all his followers. He said, "If you have an aspiration to learn how to fly a glider, I strongly recommend listening to the excellent The Glider Show from Sam Deeks." Now, it's great to get that piece of promotion, Adam, but it'd be even more pleasing to see you come for a visit to Dartmoor Gliding Society. And with a bit of luck, we'll be able to entice you to take to the air. And a hello to Son of Flubber, who says, "I subscribe to your podcast on iTunes and listen to the latest episode. Nice job and good idea." Son of Flubber, thank you very much. It's actually quite nice to know that somebody's subscribed on iTunes, because the one part of this jigsaw that doesn't give me any feedback on how many people subscribe is iTunes. Well, it's still quiet on the airwaves here, so if you've listened to a couple of episodes now, or if you're any of those good people we met on our little expedition to the Mendips, do get in touch. It'd be great to hear from you. I'm really looking forward to the first person who sends me an MP3, either from somewhere high above the countryside in the cockpit of their glider, or anywhere around the world on a gliding expedition. It would be fantastic to get a little bit of audio from your world, and I'd be happy to include it in the show. So that's it for episode 6 of The Glider Show. The Glider Show is still a relatively new podcast, and there's always room for improvement, and that's where you come in. If you'd like to share your experiences or comment on anything you've heard in the shows so far, then please get in touch. If you've got a smartphone or a PC, you're a couple of clicks away from taking part in The Glider Show. Please check the Take Part page on the website at ukglider.com for more information on how to take part in the show. Music is Cloud9 by Norwegian slide guitarist virtuoso Finn. His music is sourced for the show via Music Alley, the home of PodSafe Music. That's music we can use for free to help promote artists and to provide music for our podcasts. Pretty good arrangement. Don't forget that if you click on the Subscribe to the Show in iTunes button on the website, as Son of Flubber did this week, you can get every new episode of the show downloaded automatically to your phone or PC without ever having to lift a finger again. Once again, thanks for listening to The Glider Show. This is Sam Deeks wishing you a very happy 2013 and all the great flying weather you could hope for. Fly safe.